This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day of excitement and maybe of decision. The Secretary of State of Pennsylvania has announced that they are likely to complete their counting of votes. There's still 370,000 votes in Pennsylvania, mostly mail-in ballots that have not been counted. They have calculated this. In order to win in Pennsylvania, Joe Biden needs to win about 65% minimum of the ballots that are remaining. He's still running behind in Pennsylvania. If President Trump holds off the increases that are being reported literally every hour for Joe Biden, if he does that, does he win the presidency? Well, no, but he still has a good shot. If Joe Biden does carry Pennsylvania, if that is finalized, if that is accepted, if that is announced, which we will probably know by the end of the day today, well, then Joe Biden is almost surely going to be president of the United States. Just to summarize it, it's a very complicated situation, but keep two things in mind. There are basically four states left where there's a serious chance to undo the result of the election, the apparent result of the election. Other states have been counted. And for instance, I know there are increased Republican hopes that the apparent Democratic victories in Nevada and in Arizona will be overturned. That is looking a little bit less likely. But it doesn't matter if Pennsylvania goes the way it appears to be going, which is in the direction of Joe Biden. There are two states right now that are very much in play where Joe Biden is ahead. That's Arizona and Nevada out west. And then there are two states on the East Coast, Pennsylvania and Georgia, where President Trump is ahead, but with counting of ballots that came in, and these are ballots in Pennsylvania, it's extraordinarily complicated situation, and it's really a shame, but blame the coronavirus, for goodness sake, and blame the judiciary. Under Pennsylvania law, you have to actually receive a mail-in ballot to get it counted on election day. Even if it's postmarked before election day, if it doesn't arrive on election day, it's not counted. Well, there's a Pennsylvania judge who changed that decision, just single-handedly. And the Pennsylvania judge said, okay, there are ballots that come in up to 3 days later after election day, and those ballots will have to be counted too. But just in case those ballots are later ruled unacceptable, they are being counted separately. They're being, you'll pardon the expression, segregated. Nothing racial about it. It's just they will be viewed separately. I know that what the Biden campaign earnestly hopes for and what the Biden campaign believes is that even without those segregated ballots, the ones that arrived in Pennsylvania late, even without those ballots, they will end up beating President Trump, even though right now, at this moment, President Trump has a lead of 100,000 votes with 370,000 votes left to count. We will keep you up to date on everything regarding what's going on there, and we are supposed to be getting soon. It could be during our show, and of course we'll report it as soon as we get any news, the final news on Georgia. Georgia is breathlessly close. And they have 48,000 votes left to count. They're supposed to have that done by the end of the day today. President Trump's lead has been sliced and sliced and sliced It's now down to 12,835. Okay, that's not a big lead when you have 48,000 votes left to count, and those votes apparently are predominantly votes by mail. Why is it that Democrats so dominated the vote by mail collections? Is that because people are throwing away Republican ballots? No, it's because the President of the United States, for more than a month before the election, was denigrating the whole process of vote by mail. People who were voting for President Trump were much less likely to vote by mail, much more likely to go out in early voting and wait in line at the polling places, or to go out on election day itself. After all, this is an entirely record turnout. One thing that virtually everybody seems to agree on at this point is that at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we're going to have a situation where we have to really make some serious strides to improve our whole voting and counting system. Andy Kessler over the Wall Street Journal agrees with me in something that I've mentioned on the show before, which is it's time, really time, to move to some kind of digital system. John Fund, I know, who's a frequent guest on our show on the issue of election security, says we don't have the technology yet to keep it completely safe from hacking or mischief. I will bet that can be worked out. While they're working on a coronavirus vaccine, God willing, soon, any day now, maybe, let's hope, with all of that happening on behalf of the coronavirus, maybe we can do some electoral reform. And really of a bipartisan nature, not to advantage one side or another. Because coming out of this election, it's absolutely true that both sides, but particularly Republicans, have reasons to celebrate. The news is now coming in that Republicans who were expected to lose a whole series of state legislative houses across the country may have not only held their own, but actually made some legislative gains in state legislative races. No one expected, and when I say no one, I mean really no one, except for the President of the United States. President Trump was just about alone in predicting that the Republicans would make gains in the House. It now looks like the Republicans may have made such dramatic gains, over 10 seats in the House that the Republicans gained, that they're close to control. 218 seats gives you control of the House of Representatives. And the Republicans may come in with over 210, which would mean that the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi have the smallest House majority. If they do even end up with a majority, they probably will. But it would be the smallest House majority since the Great Depression. Since the era of the New Deal and immediately thereafter. And by the way, setting up Republicans for a phenomenally good election cycle in the next one. That would be in 2022. Now, here's the deal, is that if you look at virtually all of our recent presidents, and there really are no exceptions, the only minor exception I'll mention to you is George W. Bush. But if you look at President Trump and President Obama and President Clinton, and if you go all the way back even to the first President Bush, well, actually, Clinton and President Obama and President Trump all lost House seats big time 2 years after they were elected. And in fact, it was very dramatic for Bill Clinton and for President Trump and for President Obama 2 years after the election, 2 years after they won election. And remember, Obama, when he won election, Clinton, when he won election, Clinton won with a minority of the total vote because of the Ross Perot factor. But Clinton won very comfortably by 8 points. Obama won by 7 points. These were big election victories. But then 2 years later, people get an itch and they want to put the other side into power. Could we be looking at a Republican takeover of the House for sure in 2022? Well, you never know what's going to happen with the new administration, and we still don't know who's going to be the president of the United States. We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show. Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVed Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVed History Store by 50%.
Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice, and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Georgia, the whole day through.
It's a great song and a great occasion. Georgia is on everybody's mind. If Georgia turns out to show Joe Biden overtaking Donald Trump's lead, that maybe wouldn't be the end of the controversy regarding this election, but it would be a very decisive sign in the direction of a Biden presidency. Again, right now, state of play right now, if everything stayed the way it is, with Trump in the lead in Georgia and Pennsylvania, and Biden in the lead in Arizona and Nevada, Joe Biden would be president. He would win 270 electoral votes, the bare minimum he needs to become president of the United States. So President Trump not only needs to hold on to Georgia and Pennsylvania, he would need to flip either Arizona or Nevada. The reason people say that Joe Biden has an easier path to the presidency, he doesn't need to flip anything more. He's already flipped what he needs to flip. The Michigan has already been awarded to Joe Biden by all of the observers in the press, and he clearly is ahead by a substantial amount in Michigan. It's over 50,000 votes. And Wisconsin has gone into Joe Biden's column. Now, part of what makes this so dispositive right now is that the margins in Michigan and Wisconsin are comparable, and actually larger if you combine them than the margins with which Trump won those crucial states in 2016. So it's impossible to say, well, Trump won a clear-cut victory in 2016, but Joe Biden, with bigger margins and a higher percentage of the vote because third-party candidates are so much less of a factor, but Joe Biden didn't win. Biden doesn't need to flip Georgia or Pennsylvania. The odds right now are probably that he will flip Pennsylvania with 20 electoral votes and probably not in Georgia, though it's going to be unbelievably close. Georgia could be the one state that comes out in this cycle like Florida did last time. By the way, considering Florida last time, there's some interesting commentary by Joe Lieberman, who was very much part of that whole dispute. He had been spent a lot of time campaigning in Florida right before the election in 2000. He was Al Gore's running mate, the nominee for vice president. And he has a statement today suggesting that, of course, President Trump has the right to take his case to court. What I am not sure of, and by the way, if somebody wants to explain this to me, I'd be willing to take a call, 1-800-955-1776. There were demonstrators last night in Michigan who were surrounding election offices and chanting, these are pro-Trump demonstrators, stop the count, stop the count, stop the count. Okay, why is it helpful or appropriate at this point to stop counting votes? This I don't get. Those votes have all been cast. They have determined that they were cast in time. They're votes that came in on Election Day or before Election Day. So this could be a tough kind of demand to explain or to justify. The DCC chairman, that's the Democratic Central Congressional Coordinating Committee, she, the chairwoman of the DCC, whose name is Sherry Bustos, had a private call this morning to House Democrats. The House Democrats are very depressed. The Republicans right now, if everything sorts out, are on a pace to control at least 208 seats in the House. It could be as high as 214. I think the best guess is that it'll come down at 210, 211. But it would be the slimmest majority for any majority party in the House that would get behind Nancy Pelosi, or maybe would even demand new leadership. Because something went terribly wrong here. Sherry Bustos said on this private call this morning, I want to say the thing we're all feeling. I'm furious. Something went wrong here across the entire political world. And part of what she's talking about is the Democrats spent so much money on the House and the Senate races, and we still need to get a final word in the Senate race in Alaska, but and of course there are probably two Senate races that will be going to a runoff election on January. That election, I think, is scheduled for January 5th, right before the new Senate comes into session. But that's in Georgia, and you've got to say that it's not only the traditional Republican nature of Georgia, but Republicans do very well in runoff elections. It would be very, very difficult for the Democrats to win a runoff in Georgia. The only reason that Raphael Warnock running for one of those seats, he's a black pastor, one of those seats in Georgia that the Democrat was running ahead, is because there were two very significant Republicans. And by the way, one of the Democratic candidates who did not clear the primary was a guy named Matt Lieberman, who's the son of former Senator Joe Lieberman. He ended up not doing so well in that primary election. In any event, Claire McCaskill, former senator from Missouri, said this on MSNBC, and I think she's entirely correct about some of the Democratic Party's problems. Clip 14, listen.
It's hard to pinpoint. I think it began around cultural issues. The Republican Party, I think, very adroitly adopted cultural issues as part of their main theme, whether you're talking guns or issues surrounding the right to abortion in this country or things like gay marriage and the rights for transsexuals and other people who we as a party have tried to, quote unquote, look after and make sure that they're treated fairly. As we, you know, circled those issues, we left some voters behind, and Republicans dove in with a vengeance and grabbed those voters. And you've seen this shift. You saw it in the South. I've seen it in the rural areas of my state. So we've got to get back to the meat and potatoes issues. We've got to get back to the issues where we are taking care of their families. And we also need to quit acting like we're smarter than everybody else, because we're not.
That's a great statement. And she's right about the cultural issues. She's right about the cultural issues. And there's one cultural issue that she forgot to mention. And I will tell you what it is, because I think that was the dominant cultural issue in fueling why the Republicans did so much better than expected. And I'll give you a hint as to what issue it is. Think about what was widely hailed as the most effective speech that President Trump gave in the whole campaign. The one speech where even Trump skeptics, even President Trump's most dedicated detractors, said, you know, the president did a pretty good job on this. What speech was it? And what cultural issue is it that was absolutely crucial to Republican success? We'll tell you, coming right up on the Medved Show.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A judge in Georgia has dismissed a lawsuit by the state Republican Party and President Trump's campaign that asked him to ensure a Coastal County was following state laws on processing absentee ballots. As far as what's taking so long in Georgia, Gabriel Sterling is the Georgia Secretary of State, COO. He says,
well, the main thing, there's several things that work on this system, and the biggest one of all is we have paper ballots, so there's going to be a record of what has occurred here. And if there's any questions, you can always go back to do an audit and a recount. In many places, everything is open to the public. We are poll watchers in many of these places. In places like Fulton County, the state has placed a monitor.
The public is getting its first look at the police body camera footage in the Walter Wallace shooting in Philadelphia. The video shows the black police officers repeatedly telling Mr. Wallace to drop his knife. You're listening to USA Radio News.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Your daily dose of debate.
You're trying to stir up some controversy.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, I mentioned the sort of secret weapon that I think Republicans and, yes, President Trump used in this campaign to power a lot of Republican Senate and House candidates to victory and to allow President Trump to do much better than expected in many states all across the Union. The secret ingredient, the secret value that Claire McCaskill didn't mention was patriotism, was love of country, was celebrating America rather than complaining about it, that honoring it based upon the 1776 birth date, not that phony 1619 birth date, saying that America was all about slavery and oppression and guilt and hideousness and cruelty and misery and exploitation. President Trump's best speech of the campaign, and honestly, I don't really believe that President Trump gave a lot of inspiring or positive or useful speeches during the campaign. Generally, it was his stream of consciousness connecting emotionally with his rally goers, but basically not doing anything to expand his base. I think he expanded his base on July 4th, 2020, when he spoke at Mount Rushmore. And that was a speech where he basically spoke against the tendency to run down America, to try to say that we should feel guilt rather than gratitude in this country, and to actually celebrate the heroes of all races and all backgrounds and all ethnicities and religious faith or not religious faith, and of all standards of background and living, all the Americans who have made great contributions to our country. And was the speech a little bit corny? Well, patriotism can sometimes be a little bit corny. But most of us out there, and I think most voters, including most Democratic voters, still find it inspiring and positive. The president, if you don't remember, sounded a little bit like this.
I am here as your president to proclaim before the country and before the world, this monument will never be desecrated. These heroes will never be defaced. Their legacy will never, ever be destroyed. Their achievements will never be forgotten. No nation has done more to advance the human condition than the United States of America. And no people have done more to promote human progress than the citizens of our great nation. Our nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children. Angry mobs are trying to tear down statues of our founders, deface our most sacred memorials, and unleash a wave of violent crime in our cities. Many of these people have no idea why they are doing this, but some know exactly what they are doing. They think the American people are weak and soft and submissive. But no, the American people are strong and proud.
Okay, that's the President of the United States on July 4th at Mount Rushmore. Now, look, obviously, people across the country, including this person up here in the far left-hand corner of the map in Seattle area, feel offended at the idea of ripping down statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, and even of Frederick Douglass, great abolitionist, even of Hans Christian Hegge, whose statue was torn down and destroyed up in Wisconsin. And he was an abolitionist who gave his life to the cause of fighting against the Confederacy, for the Union, against slavery, for freedom. And this idea, I understand that you can't say there are any leaders of the Democratic Party who were responsible for some of the rioting and the looting and the statues being torn down, but they were quiet about it. And frankly, it would have been useful for the country, and certainly would have been useful for the Democratic Party if they had people who were speaking out as firmly and as vociferously as President Trump was at the time all this was going on this past summer. But the Democrats were kind of, for the most part, in the tall grass. And when Senator McCaskill says it was cultural issues more than economic issues that helped Republicans win unexpected strength in this election, I think the number one cultural institution, the number one cultural issue that mobilized people on the Republicans' behalf was this issue of America. And whether people still believe that America is a shining city on a hill. There was I've written about this several times, but there was a very instructive poll, and it was a Gallup poll where they asked people, do you think that America should be more like other countries in the world? Or should other countries in the world be more like America? And for Republicans, it was overwhelming. It was 80% thought, no, of course, other countries should follow our example. Democrats were evenly split. Half the Democrats thought, yeah, America should be more like other countries in the world. We want to be more like Belgium. I don't know why I'm picking on Belgium. Okay, we want to be more like Venezuela? Anybody really want to be more like Venezuela? Venezuelan Americans definitely don't. They were among the Hispanic voters with whom Trump won unusual success. And by the way, it's on this issue. Because when people come here from Mexico, and yes, from Cuba, and from Venezuela, or from El Salvador and Guatemala, when they come here, they don't come here because they have contempt for this nation. They come here because they believe in it. And for most of the people who come here, they want very much to be Americans, which is one of the reasons I do believe we should allow a path for citizenship for people who pay a fine and go through a whole series of procedures to become American citizens. Well, a lot of those people who did become American citizens, who are Latino, voted Republican this time. And it's one of those things that is scaring the dickens out of Democrats. There's a very fine piece by a writer named Mike Gonzalez. It's in the Wall Street Journal today. He's a senior fellow at Heritage Foundation. And Mike Gonzalez says the big loser on the ballot on this last Tuesday was not one party, it was one idea, identity politics, and I think he's right. That idea that we should be sliced and diced and enumerated all according to our ethnicity or what group you're assigned to by the people who are supposedly police diversity, that's a loser idea. And as an American, obviously, his last name is Gonzalez of Hispanic ancestry, he even goes on to question this whole designation of Hispanics as some kind of separate nation within a nation. No, one of the things that the election taught us is that is a phony designation. We will get to that and to much more. We're expecting some big announcements any moment from the Secretary of State in Georgia, and with news pending also at any moment from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania can't necessarily win the election for Joe Biden, but if President Trump fails to hold on to Pennsylvania, there is no path that he can follow realistically that would keep him in the White House. We will get to all of that as it happens. We're also going to be speaking with Ari Fleischer. He was working for President George W. Bush when we had a previous very close very contentious election. Actually, that election was even much more close than this one. That was in 2000. And it was one that George W. Bush, of course, won. Does this seem like a repeat of that process? Will it be decided in the Supreme Court? We'll get to all of that and more on The Medved Show.
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at The Medved Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
I love good movies, like a romantic comedy called About Time from 7 years ago. It's a great movie about romance and about family, really, and father and son relations, much more. Problem with it is there's a little bit of content you may not want to share with your children. That's where Clear Play comes in. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, particularly right now during this time of pandemic, ClearPlay can set you up to watch the movies you want to see without violence, without profanity, or without other content that you would choose to remove. You make the settings up yourself. It's truly ingenious. Go to clearplay.com to learn more, and you can enjoy About Time with Margot Robbie, Rachel McAdams, and more. Check it out at clearplay.com. Because ClearPlay loves good movies.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
And on the Michael Medved Show, talking about an important piece in the Wall Street Journal by a Heritage Foundation fellow named Mike Gonzalez, who has been working for years against this whole phony designation of what, until the day before yesterday, they were trying to call Latinx people. Now, what was the whole idea of Latinx? Was because you can't say Latino or Latina because that implies there are only two possible genders. But if you say instead of Latina or Latino, you say Latinx, well, that means that you're allowing for all kinds of multiple gender identities. Okay, more power to you if you want to use that. But polling has shown that only a tiny minority of actual Hispanic Americans actually like that term. And Mike Gonzalez doesn't like the term Latino Americans. He writes in his piece about the big loser on the ballot the day before yesterday. The big loser, he says, is identity politics. And he writes, Nicole Hannah-Jones, the pugnacious creator of the New York Times 1619 Project, tweeted on Election Day, "One day after this election is over, I am going to write a piece about how Latino is a contrived ethnic category with artificially lumping together white Cubans and black Puerto Ricans and indigenous Guatemalans and helps explain why Latinos' support for Trump reached the highest rate, at the second highest rate," is what she said. I don't know what she means by the second highest rate, but there is no doubt at all that President Trump made substantial gains. It helped give him the state of Florida among Latino and black voters. I was actually in a panel discussion with a black academic who was literally slapping his head about the gains that President Trump has made in the black community and suggest they may be even bigger than the 50% gain that is obvious in the exit polls. Black support for Trump went from 8% in 2016 to 12% this year. Now, that's hundreds of thousands of votes. Actually, probably more than a million votes. In any event, he writes, Mike Gonzalez, "Not every day do I agree with Ms. Hannah Jones, but I've written two books, multiple research papers, essays, and op-eds on this matter, and she is correct. These are contrived categories, fabricated terms with no basis in ethnicity, culture, or race, as I put it in a 2019 essay. In other words, if you use the term Asian, and that term includes Filipinos and Japanese Americans and Indian Americans, I mean, really, those are vastly different cultures. That's vastly different historical experience. It's different languages. It's different religions. What is it that actually lumps those people together in a meaningful way? And, I mean, really, this is a nonsense attempt to manipulate people. And he writes, Ms. Hannah Jones subsequently tweeted that the Latino category and others were created by white people. They were, says Mike Gonzalez, though not the way she imagines. These categories were the brainchild of leftist activists in the Hispanic case, Chicano movement activists, who were often richly funded by the likes of the Ford Foundation and other backers, and who then put incredible pressure on reluctant bureaucrats to make these groups official in the census and all other government surveys. The activists weren't after accurate counts then or now. No matter what they say, they wanted to create minorities. As the Berkeley professor, Christina Mora, aptly puts it in her 2014 book, Making Hispanics, quote, "It is one thing to classify a population and another to count it. For Mexican, American, and Puerto Rican activists in the late 1960s, these issues were inherently related." In other words, it was a bid to have increased influence, and it's falling away now. Mike Gonzalez points out that one of the other big losers for identity politics was on the ballot in California. Identity politics even took it on the chin, he writes, in California, where voters defeated an attempt to revoke Proposition 209, the 1996 ballot measure that had banned the use of race, national origin, or sex by the state universities and other agencies. The left has spent almost a quarter century trying to reverse that decision, and its latest attempt lost handily. Lost in a big landslide, as a matter of fact. Because this is ridiculous. The Hill is reporting that a judge in Georgia just dismissed a lawsuit from the Trump campaign over the state's handling of absentee ballots just hours after that lawsuit was filed today in Chatham County Court. Chatham County Superior Court Judge James Bass dismissed the lawsuit following an hour-long hearing. President Trump's campaign filed the lawsuit against the Chatham County Board of Electors Wednesday evening, last night, alleging that a witness had said that late-arriving ballots had not been properly stored and may have been mixed in with timely ballots. Look, this entire fight about trying to disqualify ballots after they've arrived and perhaps after they have been counted, it's going to be tough. And then there's this. Fox is reporting Michigan Court of Appeals Judge Cynthia Stevens ruled against the Trump campaign lawyers today, this afternoon, just now, finding the relief the Trump team is seeking is ultimately unavailable through Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson. In other words, this is one of the problems that the Trump administration is going to face with all of its various and multifarious lawsuits. First of all, the idea that they're asking for a recount in Wisconsin. Recounts sometimes find discrepancies of 100, 200, even 500 votes. But you're talking about a recount in Wisconsin that would have to find more than 10,000 votes. That would be recounted. There was a recount last time in Michigan because that was so incredibly close and it made a difference. I think it was 150 votes. But again, the idea that this is going to change the outcome of an election, I think that's probably a very unlikely. We will be finding out something about Georgia and the count. It should be sometime soon. We will bring that news to you as quickly as we can. I also want to go to the perspective of Joe Lieberman. He has a statement saying that, yes, he supports President Trump's right to take his case to court, but he's a former state attorney general. And he was state of attorney general for the state of Connecticut before he was elected Senate from Connecticut. But what exactly is supposed to happen in court? What is going to be happening is happening not in court, but in these late night sessions and tireless sessions where people are counting these remaining votes. Now, last we heard, there were 48,000 votes that were left in Georgia. Do you know, can you imagine what it would mean to count 100 ballots? I mean, just to count out 100 ballots, to register what they said, to look at them, make sure they're in order. And then you want to multiply that by five. That's 500 ballots. And then multiply. Okay, you understand the point. There are reasons that this takes so long, and those reasons probably do not involve some kind of deliberate campaign of fraud. People who are trying to expose campaigns of fraud, it seems to me this is just another conspiracy theory, and like most conspiracy theories, and this is a point that is made fairly forcefully in a column today. It's very tough to do intricate conspiracies, especially if they are supposed to involve thousands of ballots. There was another winner in the election on Tuesday. The winner was the state of Mississippi. Now, of course, Mississippi voted overwhelmingly for President Trump, but Mississippi voters also overwhelmingly approved a new state flag on Election Day, endorsing a blue field with gold and red vertical bars design, centered with a white magnolia flower ringed with the stars and the words, "In God We Trust." It was a yes-no referendum on the new potential flag design, and it was listed on the ballot as Measure 3. As of Wednesday, with 98% of the voters reporting, it had passed with 72% voting yes. This design replaces a controversial previous version of the flag that had the Confederate battle flag in the upper left corner and filled out by three red, white, and blue horizontal lines. Now, that flag had become the flag of Mississippi in the 1890s, long after the Civil War. I think when the state of Mississippi is moving on past that controversy, that's another good sign, don't you think, for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.